Welcome to worship. It is good to see you here today. Glad that you have chosen to spend this time together in worship with Trinity. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here and delighted to welcome you. If it's your first time with us, really glad that you are here as our guest today. This is a place where we all come in with a warm welcome, hopefully from each other, but especially from God, who invites us all with open arms. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. It is another summer Sunday, which means that there are a couple of things happening here with Trinity today. One is another week of our month of missions, an opportunity to give some items that will support a ministry in our community. There's information about that in your bulletin, both for this week and also for next week, so you can know what to bring back for the following Sunday. And then also, right after this service, we will be enjoying another one of our summer Sunday lunches just on the other side of the partition. So you can go out these doors and then in the ones right next to us. Our kitchen crew is preparing a meal that we can share around tables as well as enjoying some conversations. So if you don't have lunch plans already, please stick around and join us for that. And our mission box today is for Created Gainesville. There's information about that organization in your bulletin as well. But that is an opportunity for us to support through a special donation a ministry here. And the mission boxes are located at all the exit doors. So as you leave today, if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that in those locations. Well, I'd love to invite you now to stand and take a moment to greet some other folks around you as we prepare to worship this morning.
Sing out, please. So, Church of God United.
Pray with me. Holy God, this morning may this place be filled with your Spirit. And as we worship, may we be open to your word, softened by your love, and filled with the joy that is you. Amen. I invite you now to join me in the Apostles' Creed as we share our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Celebrate the sacrament of baptism this morning with the Fitzgerald family. I'd like to invite Brian and Melissa and their family and friends to come forward for the baptism of Evelyn.
Herself on the screen. She's saying, baby, baby, that's me, baby. Yes, that's exactly right. Y'all come forward a little bit. I just want to make sure that there's room for everybody here. Wonderful. So this morning, as we celebrate baptism, I have some questions to ask of you all. They are the historic questions of faith. About you as you commit to raise Evelyn so that she will one day come to accept Christ for herself. So let me ask you two as parents these questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Evelyn in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to proclaim her faith openly, and to live a Christian life? And according to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
So this morning, as we baptize Evelyn, we use water, a reminder of God's graciousness and goodness and desire to sustain us throughout our lives. And just as we need water for life, so we need the presence of God's grace in our life, and this sacrament is a sign of that grace. Let me invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this gift of water. May it remind us of your presence with us in and through all things, and as Evelyn enters the waters of baptism, may she be marked in such a way that she will remember her whole life long your presence with her. May she be sustained by others around her in the community of faith, that pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift. May it be at work in her, doing the work of cleansing and renewing and restoring, as you have promised to make all things new. May you be at work making us new and making Evelyn new for your purposes each day. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Evelyn. Hi there. Hi there. You have a lot of family here with you today. Evelyn, do you see the water? You see the water right here? Would you like to touch the water? The water is a sign of God's love for you. Evelyn, Grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Now I'm going to invite those who can to come in and put a hand on Evelyn. This is a sign of us praying for her, in a tangible sign of us praying for her. If you can't reach Evelyn, then come and put a hand on somebody who's got a hand on Evelyn. Let's pray together. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit work within Evelyn that she may grow as a disciple of Christ and continue to be faithful to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You going to let Pastor Steve walk around with you?
You want Mommy to go with you? Okay. We'll walk together. How about that? While we're walking with her, I invite you all to join in welcoming Evelyn into the family of faith. And would you join with the words that you see on the screen?
Join me in welcoming Evelyn. We welcome you into the family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong, and you'll serve Him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
She lost a shoe walking around there. Do you guys have it? Okay. As we go into a time of prayer this morning, I invite you, as we do each week, to spend a few moments at the beginning in silent prayer. I invite you to lift up these folks who are on the screen this morning. They are in need of our special prayers and love and support as they go through a difficult time. I also invite you to especially remember Evelyn and pray for her today. All of your prayers surrounding her this morning and praying for her as she grows in wisdom and stature, as she grows in faith throughout her life. So please pray for Evelyn Grace. Also, this morning, as I was thinking about the prayers, I was thinking about the fact that we are in what sometimes is called ordinary time. You know, in the Christian year, we have more seasons than just the four seasons of the calendar year. We begin with Advent, and then Christmas, and Epiphany, and Lent, and Easter, and Pentecost. And then this season after Pentecost is sometimes called ordinary time.
And it goes for months until we begin Advent again. So as I was thinking about prayers and the fact that we are in ordinary time, I thought this morning we would pray for some ordinary things and give thanks to God and also pray for those who may not have some of the ordinary things that we take for granted. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Holy and loving God of all seasons and God of all things, we give thanks this morning for water, refreshing and cleansing. And we pray for those who have no running water. We give thanks for electricity to make our morning tea and coffee, for the refrigerator, the hair dryer. And we pray for coffee farmers, for fair trade, and for those with no electricity. As we drop trash into the bin or into the dumpster, we pray for those who seek food in dumpsters or hide in them to keep warm. As we give our pets water and food, we delight in their presence. And pray for animals who are neglected or whose habitat is being destroyed. As we inhale the beauty of a warm summer day and the trees in this beautiful city, we pray for places of deforestation and give thanks for tree planters and those who nurture your creation. As we get in our cars, we give thanks for transportation. And we pray for those who walk and for injustices in our world created around oil. As we drive to work, we give thanks that we have work. And we pray for the unemployed. We take the call from the doctor's office telling us the test was just fine. And we pray for those whose results are not just fine. For those who have no access to medical care or no health insurance. We give thanks for friends who visit, sharing a simple meal. And we pray for the friendless and those who always eat alone. As we go to bed, we give thanks for rest, for a place called home. And we pray for those who live in shelters, those who are separated from loved ones, and those whose homes are destroyed by war. Today, O God, in this ordinary time, we give thanks for another ordinary day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, sit up. Let's sing. Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure hold it, protect.
Same with giving. Sometimes we think we're giving to only support the church or the budget of the church, but we, as followers of Christ, are meant to give. Our lives are meant for giving and caring, and there truly is more joy than we get when we give than when we receive. That's true in my life, at least, and I imagine that it's true in yours as well. So let me invite you to bow your heads with me as we prepare to receive the offering this morning. Holy and loving God, we do give you thanks for the many ordinary blessings in our lives. And we are grateful that we have the opportunity to live lives that are caring, that we have the privilege of giving. So we pray for your blessing on our offering this morning as we give of our finances, as we give of our hearts, as we give of our lives to you, O God. Pour out your blessing and multiply this offering that it might be used for good, that it might be used to spread your love and your grace in this community and to the far corners of our world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
As a place held within the arms of grace. In God's house there's no room too small. In God's house there is room for all. In God's house there is room for all. Every child a child of light. All are precious in God's sight. In God's house, there's no room too small. In God's house, there's a room for all. Room for all who hunger. Room for all who thirst. Room for tiny grain of sand is a diamond in God's hand. In God's house, there's no room too small. In God's house, there is room for all. In God's church, is there room for all? Do our eyes and arms and hands bear the truth that understands? In God's house, there's no room too small, for God prepared a room for all. Room for all who hunger, room for all who thirst. Room for all who love the one who first loved us. In God's house, there is room
child, a child of light. We're all precious in God's sight. In God's house, there's no room to slow, for God's prepared a room for all. In God's house, there is room for.
God's house, and that's good news. Amen. So, thinking about houses and children, this week I was reminded that it was 20 years ago this month that our family, Catherine and I and our two kids, Shelby and Sid, moved into a new house in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, where we would live the next 18 years. And so for practically all of our kids' lives as children and youth, that's where they grew up. We moved in when Sid was not quite a year old and Shelby was 4 years old. And by the time we moved out in order to move here to Gainesville, they were both out of the house and gone to college and beyond. But when we moved in, one of the things about that house was in the laundry room, there was a little partition wall that came out to separate a refrigerator from a washer and dryer. And so at the end of that little partition, there was a section that was about this wide. And a month after we moved in, we walked in, and having been inspired by some friends of ours who had done something similar, that little partition became the growth chart for our children. And so two times a year, at both Sid's birthday and Shelby's birthday, we would walk in, and they would both stand up against that wall. And every now and then, they would get Mom and Dad to stand up against that wall also. And we would measure to see how tall they were. And so over all of those years living in that house, that wall became a visible sign, a tangible reality or witness to the growth that was happening in their lives. Well, today's passage, as we continue our journey this summer through the letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament, is all about growth. If you were here last weekend, you remember that Catherine talked about the prayer that occurs in chapter 3 and how it serves as a turning point in the letter. That up to that point, the first part of the letter has really been a good bit of theology and articulation of what it is that God is doing in Christ and through Christ. And then when we get to chapter 3, we have the prayer that then pivots us toward what our response is supposed to be as a result of what God is doing in and through Christ. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, the very first word in the passage that we read today clearly marks the hinge. The word is therefore. Now, anytime you hear the word therefore in Scripture, it's time to pay attention. Listen up, because something is about to be said that is really important and that we're all supposed to activate in our lives. It's intended to draw some kind of response from us. And so we begin with therefore, and then as I read this passage today, I want to invite you to listen up for what the writer has to say about growth in the body of Christ, and how we can identify some visible, tangible signs that growth is happening. So here we go. I'll be reading from chapter 4, and you can follow along on the screen as I do. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given His grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why Scripture says, when He climbed up to the heights, He captured prisoners, and He gave gifts to people. What does the phrase "He climbed up" mean if it doesn't mean that He had first gone down into the lower regions, the earth? The one who went down is the same one who climbed up above all the heavens, so that He might fill everything, a reference to Jesus coming into the world, coming down to be with us at human level, and then returning through the ascension back into the heavens. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ, until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer, who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes, from teaching with deceitful scheming and the tricks people play to deliberately mislead others. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body grows from Him as it is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love, as each one does their part. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Praise God. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the gifts and the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from You into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. This passage, as I reflected on it in preparation for the message today, took me back to another season and time in life and ministry. It was back in the early 90s when I accepted a position in youth ministry at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. Catherine was already on staff there as the associate pastor, and there had been a need for somebody to fill into the youth ministry position. At the time, I was in my wrestling match with God about the whole ordained ministry thing, but I clearly felt a sense of calling to that role at that time. And as I got started, one of the things that I felt was needed was a focal point, a way to rally around a purpose and a mission that would drive everything that we did in youth ministry as a part of that church. And in praying and thinking about that, where I landed was this passage of Scripture. Because in this passage, I heard the perfect goal for a ministry with young people. That in our work with 6th graders through 12th graders, as they moved from starting adolescence and middle school to graduating and moving on into adulthood, our job, our role was to be able to create a ministry where they could be maturing in their faith, where they could be learning more about what it meant to be followers of Christ and do that in community where they had support and care and accountability with each other. And so that became the way in which we oriented all of our decisions about the different things that we did in ministry. So then I was thinking about that, and I was drawn quickly back to today and to being here with Trinity and to the youth ministry and the season of youth ministry that is happening right here. And can I just say that I am so excited about what God seems to be doing and stirring up here right now. I don't know if you all have had a chance to meet Rebecca.
Jessica or Kevin yet, our new director of youth ministries and director of Sunlight, who both arrived in May. But let me tell you, there is just something wonderful about them both. Deeply committed, very passionate, very excited, very faith-filled as they work together to shape our youth ministry for the future in a way that is forming mature Christians. You know, that is the purpose for all of our ministries. That's why we start with ministries that reach our very youngest, that even in our nursery, there are people who are attending to our youngest children with love and care in a manner that is an expression of God's care, that we have children's ministries and opportunities for them to learn and grow, and a preschool where that can happen as well, and then youth ministries, and then adult ministries, because none of us are done yet, friends. We are all still on a journey, and none of us has arrived, and so no matter what age or stage we are at, we are all on this journey toward maturing in the faith. So what does that look like? What does maturity look like in the Christian faith? Well, we get some pretty good clues in this passage today. The writer points us to some visible signs that we are moving on toward maturity. Early on in the passage, one of those signs is that if we are maturing in the faith, then we will be a part of a church that is seeking unity. That we will want to seek to be together with our brothers and sisters, and that we will work together toward that sense of oneness. That word one is like a drumbeat that the writer keeps hitting in the passage today. Did you notice that? Seven times in a span of just a couple of verses, we hear that word, that we are bound to one Lord and a part of one faith, and there is one baptism and one God and Father who is over and above and in and through all. There is a oneness that we are meant to display as the church. So often today, not only in the world, but even in the church, that doesn't seem to be what defines us, is it? There's so much fracture, so much discord, so much anger, so much hostility. Church, what I would say to you today is that in this environment, especially in the world today, the church is called not to take its cue from the world on how we will do life together. Rather, the church should be the body of people who, by the way we live, are giving cues to the world on how the world might better live with each other. The church is where we have the opportunity to begin to bear a witness of that oneness. And so that means we have to pay attention to our tendency to want to have it done my way or to be right about everything. As one theologian puts it this week in reflecting on this passage, correctness is sometimes confused with maturity. Have you ever had that happen to you? You ever been in a conversation with someone and the way they spoke about a particular matter or issue, they were just absolutely certain that they were right? And that once you grew up, once you got mature enough, you'd figure out that they were right, and then you'd be on the same page with them. Anybody ever have that happen? Anybody ever do that to anybody else? You don't have to raise your hand on that. Yeah, we get caught up in our sense of rightness and thinking that we've got the answers. We know the right way to go, and we forget that none of us has it all figured out. And that there is something about the character of oneness within the church that matters significantly. Another theologian says this, growing up in the faith may sometimes require standing down because mature Christians are more concerned about unity than personal triumph. You know, one of the great witnesses to that I have seen in recent months is the witness of the commission on a way forward within our own denomination. 32 people who represent a global connection. 32 people who come from all parts of our church, and by parts I mean geographically, theologically, socioeconomically. I mean, these are people who come from a lot of very different perspectives and places and encounters and experiences. And they have been working together, seeking to listen to each other, seeking to remain bound to each other in Christian love, and seeking to find a way for our church to move forward as one church, even as we may disagree over important issues. Their witness seems to reveal the spirit that we see reflected in the writing today. The characteristics that are lifted up early on in the passage are ones that they seem to have modeled and that promote unity, humility, and gentleness, and patience. We could all use a greater dose of patience when it comes to our willingness to listen to somebody that thinks differently from ourselves, couldn't we? And then there's the issue of how we speak to one another. When it is our turn to talk, and we certainly don't get good models of this on TV today or in the media, when it's our turn to talk, how do we speak in such a way that honors and respects the other? Even when we think that we, in a given moment, are the keepers of truth, how do we speak truth in love? So I was thinking about a city council meeting in Bradenton that I attended several years ago. And I had gone that particular night because a friend of mine was the head of a coalition on homelessness in our community and had asked some of us to come and to be present because on the agenda for that particular night, there was the potential of a new ordinance regarding homeless citizens who were living in Bradenton. And so I went, and it just so happened that on that night, one of the other things that was happening was that a man, an artist in the community by the name of Herbie Rose, was being honored and recognized, not only for his art, but for his community building and some of the things that he had done in the Bradenton area. And so the mayor presented him with a key and declared it Herbie Rose Day. And I will never forget the way Herbie sees the moment in order to speak lovingly and clearly to what was about to happen that night. As he stepped up to accept this wonderful gift that he received, he said, "Thank you." And then he said, "You know, I am so grateful to live in the Friendly City," which is the name that Bradenton has given itself. "I am so grateful to live in the Friendly City, and I just know that tonight we're going to remember that that friendliness is meant for all the people who live here." He didn't have to say another word. He didn't have to say another thing. Everybody understood what Herbie was communicating. You know, that's a sign, I think, of that kind of maturity in life and faith, where we are able to speak in such a way that we can communicate both clearly and lovingly. So what then becomes our measuring stick in this life moving toward maturity? Well, the author is very clear about that as well. There is only one measuring stick for us, and it is the life of Christ himself. You know, people try to use a lot of measuring sticks in the church, but there is no other measuring stick for us, friends. It is not how many verses we have memorized. It is not how many times we've gone to the homeless shelter and served meals. It is not our perspective on one particular issue or subject matter. The only measuring stick for us is the
the life of Christ. As the author says today, to be fully grown is to be measured by the fullness of Christ. Now that is a daunting assignment, I realize. I mean, who wants to be brought up here and have their life put alongside Christ and have everybody else go compare? Right? And yet we all need a goal. Even if it's a goal we might never attain, we all need a goal that we are working toward. And in the life of faith, in the life of the church, that goal is Jesus Christ and what we see in His own life. And so we should spend a great deal of our time and effort looking in the Gospels at what we see in His life. What do they tell us about what He had to say and how He had to say it and how He treated other human beings and what He had to offer in love and service and compassion? That life, that is our measuring stick. That is our aim. And then one other thing about moving toward maturity that we learn from this passage today. None of us does it alone. There is no such thing as a journey that is just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and all of us. Because you see, the church is meant to be that community where God gathers us as the followers of Christ to bear a particular witness to the world. And that means that every one of us has a part to play. We are all part of the body. That is the metaphor that gets used today. We are the body of Christ. And just as the body has many parts, so we are made up of many parts. And no one part is more important or more valuable or more necessary or needed than another. We are all needed. And all of our gifts and all of our presence matter as we are grown together. You see, it's not just my growth as a disciple or your growth or your growth or your growth as a disciple. It is the growth that we experience together as we are all being joined to the head, which is Christ. We celebrated Evelyn Grace's baptism this morning. We celebrated Scarlett Grace's baptism at 9:40 this morning. I just love the fact that they both have the middle name Grace. How great is that? Every time we celebrate a baptism, we are marking the beginning of someone's journey. Today, we've marked the beginning of Evelyn and Scarlett's journey in this life toward maturity. And every baptism is not just an opportunity for us to mark their lives. It is also an invitation to remember our own baptisms, to mark the moment in time, and to look back and see where we have come from that time when we were baptized to now, and how we are moving along that journey toward maturity. Every baptism is an opportunity for us to renew our commitment. And so in our baptismal liturgy, we say in response to the one who is being baptized, as members together with you, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And so today, church, we pledge ourselves once again to keep growing, all of us, in our faith as part of a community that is meant to be a blessing to the world. Lord Jesus, make us hungry. Hungry to keep growing along this journey of life and faith. Lord Jesus, make us eager. Eager to use the gifts that you have placed in us to serve the church and the world for the sake of your kingdom. And Lord Jesus, humble enough to realize that we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. And the unity of your church matters far more greatly than our personal gain or preferences. Amen.
Each week we gather here for worship in this house of God. And each week we gather around this table to share in a meal offered to us by Christ. Each of us grew up in a home and likely shared regular meal time with our families. And as we did, that time of eating nourished our bodies, and that time around the table with our family strengthen those relationships. As we come here to the table, we come hungry. Hungry for God's grace. And knowing that we will be filled with the fullness of Christ. As we come to this table, we come with one another. Knowing that as we grow closer to Christ, we also grow closer to one another. Our relationships are strengthened as we welcome and embrace one another. And so we remember that Jesus ate with sinners and healed the sick and fed the hungry and spent time with those who were on the margins of life. And we remember that he ultimately gave his life for all of us because of his deep love for each and every one of us. So we come to the table and we give thanks. And we also anticipate that time when all God's children will stream to the heavenly banquet and share in that together. As we remember that he gathered the disciples around him on the night before his death, and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my love poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come. We come as the body of Christ with many parts to offer our gifts and to be a living witness to the world. Will you pray with me? God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And, O God, today we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on Christ and wrap our lives around his life, that we may be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements. Prepare to come this morning. I'm mindful of DJ's offering earlier, and that there is room in God's house for all of us. And I extend that invitation to you this morning. There is room at the table for all of us. So as you come, you'll come out the left side of your row and return by the opposite side. You'll come to the station in front of you, cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, take that bread and dip it into the cup. Everyone is invited to Christ's table. It is a place where we seek to fall more in love with Christ and to be forgiven by His grace. So I invite you to come and to receive, to taste and see the goodness and love of God. Everything's ready. Please come.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we for the feet.
give you thanks for this meal, this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant us now that we might go out into the world in the strength of the good news of Jesus Christ, that those for whom love is a stranger may find in us generous friends. Amen.
Go out, church, keeping your eyes on the goal. May the life of Christ be the life toward which you are aiming in your own life, so that the world might find in us witnesses to God's goodness and truth. And may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the strength of the Holy Spirit be with us all.